Yeah, except that this tape isn't moving.
Your
community
activities, your awards, and so on.
Okay. One or two of these may be repetitive, but from what I heard of the last few minutes of the tape, I don't think these were mentioned. I was a former president of the National Council of Jewish Women of Pittsburgh, and now am a lifetime board member. I was on the board and the executive committee of the Health and Welfare Planning Association, which just went out of existence this last year. I was on the Jewish Healthcare Foundation for its first year and rotated off. I'm on the board and executive committee of the Jewish National Fund. I'm on the advisory committee of Craig House. I'm on the board of the Development Alliance for Senior Citizens of Allegheny County, which will shortly have a new name. But it's a new organization to develop furniture and equipment for senior citizens, hopefully not only to serve the needs of senior citizens, but to create new industries in Pittsburgh. I'm on the School Neighborhood Consortium of the Allegheny Conference, which deals with the public schools and some of its problems and the hope of getting the community more active with the schools. I was, up until now, on the National Center for Social Policy and Practice, which was established by the National Association of Social Workers. But it's been relatively inactive, and I have the feeling that it will not continue as an organization. I joined the Cancer Institute in the last year, and I was just made an honorary life member of the YWCA. On honors, just to get these on the record, there's a whole list. Do you want me to read them?
I think that would be a good idea. I think people would be interested in hearing about them.
All right. Well, I'll go in chronological order. Shall I start with the earliest or the newest?
Earliest.
1972, I received the Heritage Award of the State of Israel Bonds from the National Council of Jewish Women in Pittsburgh. This was the first time that NCJW allowed itself to affiliate and support Israel Bonds. It was kind of a breakthrough, and since then they've done it on a regular basis. 1978, I was Civil Libertarian of the Year from the American Civil Liberties Union. Also in 1978, I received the Outstanding Volunteer Award from United Way. In 1984, I was the honoree from Temple Sinai for Israel Bonds. 1983, I received the Human Relations Award from the American Jewish Committee. Also in 1983, the Leadership Award in Community Service from the YWCA of Greater Pittsburgh, in their first tribute to women, which has become an annual event and started off with about 600 people in attendance and now gets about 1,200 people in attendance. In fact, I was just asked and accepted to be honorary chairman of the 1993 tribute to women. 1983, I received the Florence Reisenstein Award for Advancement of Human Rights and Dignity from the Pittsburgh Commission on Human Relations, which is a public body. In 1985, I received the Hannah G. Solomon Award from the Pittsburgh section of the National Council of Jewish Women. 1986, Post-Gazette Outstanding Citizen. for which I received the Jefferson Medal. 1988, I received the Leadership and Support of Israel Award from the Jewish National Fund. Also 1988, I was Pittsburgh Woman of the Year in Community Service from Vectors Pittsburgh. They have a big annual dinner in which about 10 people are given awards in different kinds of activities. 1988, I was the Outstanding Volunteer Fundraiser from the National Society of Fundraising Executives, the Western Pennsylvania chapter. 1989, Humanitarian of the Year Award from Craig House Technoma. 1989, the Charles Turner Community Service Award from the Forbes Health System and the Forbes Health Foundation. 1990, the Salvation Army Catherine Booth Award for dedicated and unselfish service to others. 1992, I received special...
Pardon me, sweetie, if you want to stop and take a break on account of getting a horse throat, that's fine.
1992, special recognition for, quote, continuing our tradition, end quote, a celebration of the African American and American Jewish communities in the cause of social justice. And this was the start of a new kind of recognition jointly given by the Jewish Healthcare Foundation, the Urban League, and I think some others. I'll have to look that up. 1992, I also got the Community Service Award from the Women's Division of American Society for Technion. And in 1902, the Zionist Organization of America Natalie Novick Award for Community Service. Now I'll stop it.
Well, we
can
we
you
have...
turn it off? Because I want to clear my... I know this all sounds very egotistical and self-serving to list these, but I feel I have to because it's an explanation of the way I'm living my life now. I'm really not interested in awards, but I am very interested in the activities which to me are important to be involved in as a citizen of this community. And because that is the way I choose to spend my time. I do it because I enjoy it and because I can't think of a better way to spend my time.
You have just described what this, one of the reasons for the Oral History Project to be, so that people can find out what goes on in the community, and in no way should you hold back on these because they're important in the history of the Jewish people and the Jewish community, or researchers from other cities who want to know what happened in the Jewish community. So it has nothing to do with anything other than being helpful to the project.
Thanks for saying that, Jenny.
And if when you finish, well,
I just wanted to say, I'm finished with the activities, but someone once criticized me for spending as much time as I do in the non-Jewish community when the Jewish community needs are so great. And I looked at this list just to see whether that criticism was justified in any way, and I realize that I probably spend an equal amount of time in the general community and an equal amount of time in specific Jewish community interests. And to me, to be a Jewish citizen involves relating to the rest of the world. And I'm not only need to defend that, I'm proud of it.
for what it's worth, I'm in total agreement, and that sort of leads into my next question, which you might answer in view of what you have just said. Of all the accomplishments and activities you've been in, is there anything that you would do differently, or is there any particular significant accomplishment that you would want to discuss a little further?
Well, as for a particular accomplishment, I think some of the work we did from Council of Jewish Women in establishing for the first time in Pittsburgh the importance of preschool education, which the Board of Education supported us in, I think that may have been probably the most significant thing I've done. In the area of racism, it was the YWCA that committed itself nationally to eliminate racism. And I was the person in Pittsburgh in the beginning who was chair of the committee which pursued that policy. And I do think that that was very important. However, I don't think it's so easy to erase racism, or anti-Semitism for that matter. And although I think the activities continue to be as important as ever in those areas, I don't think that people have changed as much as they have changed in their recognition of the importance of early childhood education. In fact, in the latter field, we're getting, and particularly from the Pittsburgh Foundation, we're looking to fund and create programs which will go earlier and earlier into a child's life and try to reach them while the mother is pregnant in order for her to have healthy, well-developed babies at birth, and then to encourage the mother, and unfortunately it's not the father that often, but wherever possible, encourage the parents to recognize the importance of social stimulation for their children so that they'll be prepared in some way eventually to enter public school. A great deal of learning, vocabulary, interest, which comes through play, but with verbalization and articulation of what you're doing. Those are the things that stimulate children mentally, and a lot of parents don't realize how important that is. So I think those are the two areas. Well, there's another area. I'm on a number of dialogue groups through the American Jewish Committee between Jews and Christians, and also a different dialogue group between Jews and Blacks. In both instances, they only reach a small group of people. But I do think that in all of those groups, attitudes towards each other have changed, and that it is a very important activity to continue all the time.
Well, that ties in with what you said previously about putting your energies in all directions with different racial situations and different religious situations. And I'm sure, for instance, that with early childhood, people are interested in knowing the number of some of the Jewish families who were involved in early childhood, and whether the Black families are primarily involved in having the need for a head start in early childhood and learning.
Well, it's both Black and white families usually who are poor, and frequently where there's only one parent, where the need to stress the importance of early childhood education is strongest.
So you would
when I went to Israel, I don't remember whether I said this, but when I went to Israel, the necessity for early childhood development was recognized, stimulation was recognized there in integrating the Oriental Jews who came from the Arab countries into the more westernized culture of Israel. And they had exactly the same programs and needs that we have here. We're very lucky with the election of Clinton. Hillary Clinton has been a strong advocate of these kind of programs, and she brought to Arkansas a program developed in Israel called HIPPI, which is Home Instruction for Parents. I'm not sure the exact names in the title. But HIPPI was started in Pittsburgh by National Council of Jewish Women with the Urban League and worked in two all-black schools. But Hillary Clinton had established it in a number of cities in Arkansas, and I just have a lot of confidence that that kind of activity will be funded nationwide now that the Clintons are in the White House.
It's a very good point that you're able to tie up the fact that the economic situation is a large factor, and also the ethnic factor has some part in the need for early childhood education. So it all comes together, and I think that this is a very valuable thing for people to know, and particularly what's happening in Pittsburgh in that regard.
Well, the whole thrust and my own strong priorities in the organizations I'm active in, particularly the Pittsburgh Foundation, which provides funds for these things, is in this direction. And this same activity involves adolescent parents, unmarried adolescent parents, because if you're going to start with a mother in pregnancy, you're starting with a high school girl and probably a high school father. And if their needs are going to be attended to at the same time, but basically for the future, it's how their attitude toward their children can be changed, which will affect our population for the future. So that we're dealing with both groups, but the emphasis is on how that child gets started. Is that Ms. Dark?
Yes, sorry.
In relation to your question about is there anything I would do differently, when I think of the feminist movement and when I hear a man like Alan Dershowitz talk about the need to constantly raise the issues of anti-Semitism, I have to think of whether I might have done things differently, but I recognize at the same time that I'm a product of the culture in which I was born. So that on anti-Semitism, I grew up knowing that it existed, that there would be obstacles to be overcome, but I took this as a fact of life, as not something that I could necessarily change. Alan Dershowitz points to the ways in which he has constantly in his life confronted those injustices and insisted on change. And in some of them, he has been successful. I don't know that it would have been possible for me to live a very confrontational life. I think I see... progress is coming incrementally, gradually, slowly, but I have no question that there has been change. On the feminist issue, I was recalling the fact that when the four women's organizations became active in the Women's Job Corps, we did for free what the men were paid for. And we were grateful to be allowed to do it for free. And now I see how we were discriminated against And at this time, I think most women, and it would be accepted, would not be expected to provide a Job Corps service in the way we did for nothing, but it would be put on a more equal status with that of men. But when I think of whether I could have done it differently, I don't know whether I could have. I recognize now where maybe it might have been done differently, but on the other hand, if the women had not been willing to do it free, it wouldn't have been done at all, and there would have been no Women's Job Corps. It's only after it's established that you can then talk about changing the conditions. I'm sure it would never have been established if it had not been done on a volunteer basis first.
I agree with you, and that's a good point, and it needs to be brought out.
On the anti-Semitism thing, for instance, there's an enormous change in Pittsburgh. The whole university has changed from the time when there were practically no Jewish professors. Did I talk to you about when Saul wanted to be a professor?
Oh, I'd be interested in hearing.
When my husband and I were about to be married and deciding on what kind of graduate work we would pursue, Saul really wanted to be a professor of political science in a university. And we went to see Dr. Teagarden, who was the school psychologist. And she was most sympathetic, but she said, "You'll never get to be a professor. Universities aren't taking Jews." There was, in fact, one Jewish professor, and that was Alex Lowy, who was an expert in glass. And he was a very esteemed professor at Pitt, but there were no other Jewish professors of whom I'm aware. And when she said, "You don't have a chance, look in a different direction." And then we decided, well, if he went into law, which he was also interested in, he would always be his own boss and not dependent on an institution hiring him. And so that's what determined his career. That situation...
But he was a lawyer.
Yes, he was a lawyer. He only practiced a lot. He only practiced for a year or two, and then, this was 1937, 1938. Their lawyers were earning $10 a week, and he got a job in the legal division of the newly established Housing Authority of Pittsburgh, which was run by our history professor from Pitt, Dr. Bryn Hovde. The situation changed drastically. Drastically is a pejorative word. It changed wonderfully with World War II. After that, Pitt expanded its medical schools and its graduate schools in all direction and brought in experts from all over the country, many of whom were Jews. And from then on, to be a Jew and a professor was not an unusual thing. In fact, there were a great many Jewish faculty. And the whole climate in Pittsburgh has changed as far as Jews being integrated into the total society. But some things are relatively recent. Jewish membership in the general communities clubs, like the Duquesne Club, is very recent. It started with a few, now there are a great many. If my father had known that bar mitzvah celebrations are now being held in the Duquesne Club, he would be absolutely amazed. The same with the PAA, the Pittsburgh Athletic Association. And Jews are now welcome there. My son was the first Jewish member of the Mellon Bank board. And again, my father would have been unable to believe this. That's how the situation has changed. Now, I think he may still be the only such member. He's a member of some other of the corporate boards where I think there are very few Jews. But it has changed.
How about the political situation in Pittsburgh? How do you find that in contrast to the way it used to be?
Well, you have a Jewish mayor, which... is a subject about which I'm ambivalent, not because she's Jewish.
We had a city council elected by the city as a whole, and for years the Democratic Party, which has been in control of city politics, always made sure to nominate one or two blacks and one or two Jews, so that in a group of nine there was representation from all groups. For one or two years, for some reason, there was not a black member recommended for the city council, and the black community staged a successful campaign to have city council elected by district. And at the same time, the school board, which had been an appointed board, appointed by a group of judges for the city as a whole, the same movement for what was considered a more democratic system was changed, so that the school board is now elected, and elected by geographical districts. This was done to ensure that there would be at least two black members on both city council and the city school board. I think that both movements, although on paper sound good, have not resulted in good boards. I think the school board has deteriorated a great deal in the quality of its members and on their integrity as school board members. There is now a degree of nepotism on the part of school board members who employ members of their family throughout the Board of Education system, which is disgraceful. And there are also people on the school board who, I'm not sure how much interest they have in education, nor how much they're able to understand what makes good education. So I do not see that as a as a good thing that has happened to Pittsburgh. On the city council, similar, there have been some very good city council board members and some very bad ones. And I'm sure that was always the case. But the fact that they represent a particular district has not always resulted in seeing what is good for the city as a whole. And there are pluses and minuses in the concept. That's quite interesting. We've gotten a pretty good picture of your version of how things have changed from previously to the present.
Right.
And the fact that you've been involved in so many areas has been most helpful in showing the growth of Pittsburgh and communities and so on.
I have to add this. I was a very strong proponent of school integration. And when school busing became the only means of bringing blacks into white neighborhoods and whites into black neighborhoods, I was a strong supporter. On looking back, the results have not been that good. I have to question our ideological fervor, because the fact is that more whites than ever before and more blacks than ever before have left the public schools for private schools and for Catholic schools, where some of the black children are getting a much better education than they are getting in the public schools. And it has, the whole concept of bringing kids from all over the city has in a way destroyed neighborhood support of a neighborhood school. So that movement has not been an unadulterated success. On the other hand, the magnet schools, which were established is this the kind of thing you want?
Right.